Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of
1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The storms the last couple of days, I'm sure many of you were glued to the television set, perhaps watching those storms as they moved through, hoping that they did not hit us or anyone that we loved. And we were watching. I was concerned last night as I was watching one storm that was down going through Pine Bluff. They were talking, had that hook echo there, and it was just right there at my daddy's house. And I told him to go get in the hallway, and I called him back about 30 minutes later after the storm had gone over, and he was still in his hallway. But he was safe, and everyone there was safe. So I know we had a lot of concerns about that. We've had our own storms, individually and collectively. We've had our own storms. And we need some strength right now. We need to be strong. It's when the trials come, when the storms come, that we need to hunker down. We need to group together. And we need to get serious about our serving the Lord and helping each other, strengthening each other. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, Paul says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, Achaicus, and for what was lacking on your part they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men." At the end of this text, in verse 18, Paul says, "They refreshed my spirit and yours." That is, those who are ministering and serving in the gospel. He lists the three individuals there specifically. They were providing what was lacking on Paul's part. The Corinthians were not there with Paul, but these men were, and they were also there with the Corinthians. And they supported and they strengthened them. They had given themselves, devoted themselves to the ministry. How devoted are we to serving the Lord and serving one another and providing that which is lacking, which is needed? Going back up to verse 13, "Watch and stand fast." These are the two verses we're going to focus on. Stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and let all that you do be done with love. We need to be dedicated to our serving one another. And like I said, we've experienced more than our share of setbacks over the last several years. I preached a sermon here not too long ago entitled, "Satan Wants to Kill This Church." And we can put our finger back on the point seemingly when it began. And just seemingly one thing after another has taken place. And it has seemingly drained us of our energy, of our vitality. And we need to turn to the Lord, and we need to get serious in serving Him individually and collectively. And we need to be aware that there is great danger right now for all of us. It is easy to get weary and to get discouraged. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Hebrew writer talks about that. And he instructs us to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Think about what Jesus went through for us. The great love that He had for us. All the suffering that He went through. Focus on Him. Focus on what He's done for us. Lest you become wearied and discouraged in your souls. It's easy to get down and discouraged. And as I talked about a couple of weeks ago in dealing with patience, it's easy to just throw up your hands and say, I quit. Too many people have done that. When trials come, we're going to respond in one of two ways. We're either going to say, I've had enough and I quit, I don't want to do this anymore, or we're going to allow that trial to make us stronger, make us more determined than ever, make us more focused on the work at hand, make us more zealous in serving the Lord. One of two ways. What are we going to do about it? Yes, we've had problems. The question is, what will we do now? We need strong leadership. I admire the men who serve as elders now. I've worked with those men. I admire them. I respect them. But what about future elders and future leadership? We need strong leadership. We need men who will do what they need to do at an early age to prepare themselves for elders in the church, for preachers and teachers. We need women who are strong mothers who teach their children the Scriptures, who will do what they can in the work of the local church, in teaching Bible classes, and doing all the other things that are necessary and essential. We need strong leadership, and we need strong workers. We need people. Well, there's no question about that. The question is, what are we going to do about that need, both today and the future? We need people who are dedicated to the work. I believe that there ought to be a work here in the southwest section of Little Rock. City aside of Little Rock, I think there definitely needs to be a sound, healthy, working congregation here. Don't you agree with that? But we need dedicated membership to make that happen. We need people who will work, and yes, it'll be tiring. We need to do the work of evangelism and help others to come to a knowledge of the truth. We need active participation in the worship services and the preparation for the worship services. And the thing is, we have so many people who are dedicated, and we have so many people who are active. And sometimes those who are so dedicated and so active, they look around and they see others who aren't, and they get discouraged, and it really bothers them. Let me just throw this out to you. Maybe you're in that group. You're in the group of people who are working really hard. I understand it's easy to get discouraged sometimes. Please don't let other people affect you. Don't let their lack of effort, their lack of work, don't let that affect you. You do your work. And you continue on, and you be patient, and you try to help them come to a better understanding of what they need to do. Encourage them. And help others who are also busy, and get them involved, and let's pull together as a team, and let's help one another. And those who aren't doing what they ought to be doing, maybe it's because they don't know, maybe it's because they're just maybe they've had a bad week or a bad month. Maybe they just need lifted up. Maybe they need instructed. Maybe they need a good kick in the rear end. I don't know. But we need active participation. Paul says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, those who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It's easy though when you're strong to get drugged down too sometimes. The need for sacrificial giving. And I don't mean money, necessarily. I mean the giving of our time and our effort, our energy. What did the Lord give for us? We ought to give that to Him. And the way that we give that to Him, read Matthew chapter 25. And beginning there in verse 31 and read on down through the end of the chapter. How do we give that to Him? When we see others in need. When we see a need, we meet it. We serve others. So, be sacrificial in giving. This is what we need. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Even when things seem to go against us, and let's pull together, do all things in love. Loving the Lord preeminently, and loving one another. In the text, we're told to watch. We need to watch our attitudes. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul mentions some things that we ought to focus on. In fact, I'd encourage you just to read. If you are discouraged, I would encourage you to read Philippians chapters 2, 3, and 4. Every day for a while. Just read these texts. Beginning in chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Oh, an attitude of gratitude is very powerful and very helpful in our daily walk. Be thankful for what we have. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." That sounds like a positive mental attitude approach. It is positive, no doubt. It does not exclude the negative, but it is focused on the positive things, the things that are true, the things that are holy and righteous and godly, the things that are good. Focus on those things. Keep those things ever before you. We need to watch our attitudes and how we perceive things and how we approach problems in life. I'll admit to you, that's not always easy to do. When your world is rocked, sometimes it's hard to approach it with the right attitude. But we need to. For our own good, we need to. We need to watch our words. We need to watch what we say to one another and about one another. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, the Apostle Paul writes these words to the church at Ephesus. If I can get my pages unstuck. Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." You need to watch your words. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Our words need to be uplifting. Our words need to be encouraging. Our words need to build each other up. That doesn't exclude criticism. In fact, criticism is given and should be given for the purpose of building one another up. But we need to do it in the spirit of love for the purpose of building them up. We need to watch our words. And we need to watch our actions. All that we do, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, all that we do must be done to edify, for edification. Our actions need to encourage, to build up. In fact, throughout the book of 1 Corinthians, he talks about the need to build up and to strengthen, to admonish. In chapters 8, he tells us that we're to be sensitive to the conscience of others, and if we walk contrary to that, then we are not walking in love. We need to be concerned about the well-being of others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In fact, we ought to put the needs of others even ahead of our own, just like Jesus did. And we need to watch out for each other. We need to watch for one another. We see someone doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or something that is bad for them or dangerous, or we need to step up, and we need to, if we are the strong, we need to help the weak. We need to watch out for each other. Now, that does not mean we're to be meddlers in other people's business. It's not what that means. It means that we're to be concerned for each other and help one another, and we are to strengthen one another. Watch out for the needs of other brethren. Paul then says that we're to stand fast in the faith. We're to stand fast in the truth. You know, I believe we could probably grow this congregation real quick if we were to jump off the truth wagon. If we were to begin compromising on what the Scriptures actually say and began teaching things that the world likes to hear, things that they would want to do, I think we could probably grow this church pretty quick. But we can't do that. We have to stand fast in the faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 1, 23. We're to continue steadfastly in the gospel, in the doctrine of Christ. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. In fact, it's interesting, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul there talks about, is dealing with the suffering of the church in Thessalonica. And he tells them in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, he says that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that you were appointed to this. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I believe that applies to churches too. If they're faithful to the Lord, it's not going to be easy. There will be difficulties. There will be challenges. There will be hardships. That's why you see this idea of being steadfast, stand fast, over and over and over in the Scripture. Because those brethren in the first century, you know, they weren't like some of these churches around today, you know, and the preachers that talk about you follow the Lord and everything's going to be wonderful for you. You follow the Lord and the Lord's going to bless us and we're going to have all this money, we're going to have all these people, we're going to have all this. Brethren, that's not true. We read throughout the New Testament of the struggles of the first century church and the sufferings that they went through. They were continually needing to be encouraged to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, no matter what happens to you. We were studying two Sunday evenings ago from the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning in verse 35, going down to verse 39. Paul is emphasizing the love of Christ, God's perspective of our salvation, what God has done for us. If God can be against us, or if God can be for us, who can be against us? No one can. But they were needing to hear that because of all the trouble that they were going through. Not only in Rome, but throughout the world. They needed to realize that God was for them. God was on their side, and they needed to continue to trust Him despite their hardships and their difficulties. And we need to stand fast together. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God, For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believers in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me. Stand fast together. In the midst of trouble, that's when we need each other the most. We need to pull together. We need to band together. Stand fast. Stand our ground. Be united. We need to all be pulling in the same direction. We need to be all working for the same goal. That is for the success, for the growth of this local church, for the cause of Christ here in Little Rock, Arkansas. Be brave, Paul says. Be strong. The King James Version renders this passage, "Quit you like men, be strong." I often wondered when I was young, what is "quit you like men"? What does he mean by that? Well, it means to be brave, to be a man. Be manly, act manly. We hear that a lot on TV, you know, to be a man you have to act a certain way. Well, Paul is saying that you need to act like a man. The idea is to be brave. Like a soldier is going to be brave in battle. You be brave. You stand up and be strong. In Joshua chapter 1, in the Septuagint, this word that is translated "quit you like men" in the King James is used to translate Joshua 1, 6, 7, 9, 18. And there God tells Joshua to take courage. Be strong. There was a great challenge in front of him, and he needed to take courage. You know, friend, Christianity is not for the weak of heart. It's not. I don't know what the future holds, but we've been so blessed in this country to be able to worship and serve God without fear of the government, without the fear of armed personnel coming into our homes and taking our things and our possessions, taking our families, and taking us and hauling us to jail because we're Christians. We haven't had to worry about that. There are people in this world today who do have to worry about that. There were people in the first century, most of all of them had to worry about that. It takes bravery to stand up for what's true. And you know, seeing the way things are going, the day may come right here in America where that could again happen. We need strength. Following Jesus will take courage and fortitude. Jesus told His apostles in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted." He tells them that they're going to be persecuted. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, Paul there says that as they are encouraging, going back through and encouraging the churches, that through many tribulations they must enter the kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 14, again, the tribulations and the trials that were upon those brethren, then they needed to be strong. They needed to be courageous. In Romans chapter 12, not 14, chapter 12 and verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse." They were suffering. They needed to have the right attitude about that. And of course, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, "All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." You know, this whole idea about, well, if we're serving God, then everything's going to work out. Everything's going to be wonderful. That's not the Bible. So, following the Lord does take strength. It takes courage. True love. "Let all that you do be done with love." Affection, goodwill, benevolence. That's Thayer's definition of it. Active goodwill toward another. Genuine concern for the well-being of others. That's what love is. Love is not based on our feelings, how we feel at the moment. That should not motivate our love or our actions. Our love is motivated by commitment. Commitment. Love requires commitment. When you are married and you stand there and you say your vows to each other, what are you doing? You're committing yourself. And the love that is there is based on your commitment to one another. Love is based on commitment. And later on, when you feel like, well, things just aren't going like I would like for them to go, so I think I'm going to ditch this lazy rascal and I'm going to find me somebody else. You can't do that. Why? Because, well, you're supposed to love him. He's supposed to love you. Why? Because you're committed to each other. Love is based on commitment. God was committed to us. By the way, this idea of commitment, it involves a giving or a surrendering of something. A deposit into another's account. When Jesus said to His Father when He was on the cross, "Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit." It's a giving of something to another. Commitment means that we are to give to others. It's based on sharing and sacrifice. Imitating God's love for us. Now, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Commitment. He committed His own Son to the sinful world. To a cross. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, we read of the love that we're to have for one another. It's a selfless love. We are to esteem others above ourselves. And in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He did not hold on to the glories of heaven. He let go of those glories. He came to this earth, lived among men for 33 years. Even to the suffering of death. That's the summation of verses 5 through 8. But God loved us. Even while we were sinners, God loved us and sent His Son. Romans 5 and verse 8. So, all that you do be done with love. A commitment to one another. Looking out for the best for one another. Serving one another. Jesus demonstrated this over and over again with His disciples, and He told them. He gave them a new commandment that they are to love one another. He demonstrated how that was to happen. He served them and He died for them. He died for us. Let all that you do be done with love for the best interest of others. Strengthening our spiritual family requires love. If we love like we ought to love, then we will be what we ought to be. Love. Now, I've mentioned we need qualified leadership. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7 gives the qualifications of elders. Titus 1, 5 through 9 as well. We need men who are qualified. Those technical qualifications are important. But it's interesting that one of the first qualifications is they must desire it. And you do not achieve these qualifications unless you begin at an early age working toward them. You have to apply the teachings of Scripture to your life. Prepare yourself. We need men who do that. We need substantive preaching. We need preaching that is not just biblically based, but biblical. We need preaching that takes the Scripture, that expounds upon the Scripture. And we need preaching that is Bible. You know, I think that, in fact, let me go ahead and throw this next point up. Edifying Bible classes All of these things, leadership, preaching, and Bible classes, they're all to center upon our education or our learning of the Bible, the way of God. We need to know it. If we do not know it, then we will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. We need to know. We need to understand the Scripture. My job is to preach the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the Word. Be instant in season. Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but call to themselves teachers, having itching ears, they will turn their ears from the truth unto the fables. So we need sound, substantive preaching and edifying Bible classes. Ephesians 4 and verse 12. We need teachers. We also need students, don't we? We need also organization and structure. We need system. We need to teach our young people and our older people the Word of God. Bible classes, we'll use that term, Bible classes. We need to have Bible studies. But not just here at the services, also at home. And most importantly, at home. We need to open our Bibles and study together. We need to study the Word of God. So we need leadership and preaching and classes. We also need heartfelt worship. It's hard to have heartfelt worship when you're discouraged. You know that? When people are discouraged, when they're down, it's so much easier to worship God when you're happy. When everything's going great, it's so much easier to just be happy and worship. You know, that's when we really need to worship God, when we're down. We need to pour out our heart. We need to worship. We need to worship in spirit and in truth. But we need to worship God. We need to pour our heart into it in accordance with the Word of God. We need inspiring relationships. Had a good time at Harvey and Diana's Friday night. Good food and good singing and just good association. That helps build inspiring relationships. We need to get closer to each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to be family. Don't you think? We are a family. And we need to be a close family. Enthusiastic teamwork. And again, you know, it's hard to be enthusiastic when you're discouraged. But you still need to be enthusiastic. You get up and you go to work in the mornings, don't you? You may not feel like it. You may feel discouraged. You may not feel good maybe about some things that are going on at work. You're disgusted with your boss, or you're disgusted with people that you work with. Well, you have to go. Well, how do you handle that? Well, the best way to do it is just go and be enthusiastic in your worship. I mean, your work. Just go and be enthusiastic and work. And I tell you, it's so much better, though, if we're all enthusiastic and working together. Teamwork is important. We all need to be pulling the same way. We need to work together. We do have many workers here. Many of them work long and hard hours for what goes on here. And we ought to be thankful to them for that. But maybe there are some that don't. We all need to be involved. We're a team. And it's not just what goes on with the building or with the yard work or with anything else. I mean, Wednesday night we had a flood in the women's bathroom. Or I don't know. Well, I don't know if it was the men's or the women's. One of somewhere there was some water that got loose and it got all over the floor. And so we had people jumping up and going back there and taking care of that. People jumping up and doing what's needed. I've seen that over and over and over again. But we need to pull together as a team. You know, this is May, so we're a couple of months removed now, but March Madness. Remember watching NCAA tournament basketball? Many of you women probably don't know or don't care. That's fine. But I think most all of us know who Butler is. Maybe not. Okay. Butler played in the national championship game against Duke. They were one shot. They missed a last second shot that would have won the ball game, the national championship for Butler. One of the smallest schools to ever play in the NCAA tournament. How did they get there? They beat a lot of good teams in the NCAA tournament. They pulled together. They played well. I want to know one thing. How did they recruit those great athletes at Butler? How did they get those away from the Kansases and the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the North Carolinas? How did they do that? First of all, they didn't have a lot of great athletes. They had some pretty good ball players, but they weren't a bunch of great NBA athletes. They were a team. They pulled together as a team. They knew their responsibilities and they fulfilled them. They played hard. Teamwork. Maybe Kentucky had the most talent in the country last year. Or maybe Kansas did. Neither one of those teams were even in the national championship game. It's not the talent that always matters. It's not the skill level that always matters. It's the teamwork and the effort that you put into it that matters. We have to have the right attitude. We have to have the right work ethic. We have to have what it takes. Teamwork. Pull together. We need vigilance. We need to watch. Because there are enemies. And they're pulling at us from all different directions. We need to watch. We also need to watch for the Lord's return because He is coming back. How will we stand before Him? The idea of watching means that we are to be prepared and we are to be working. Perseverance. Stand fast in the faith. We need to have patience. We need to stick to it. Stick to the truth. Stand fast. Striving together for the hope of the gospel. We need courage. It takes courage to do what's right. It takes courage to stand up against Satan, against the world, and even against our own desires sometimes. It takes courage to do what's right. And it takes commitment. It takes commitment to God, first and foremost. It takes commitment to the Lord's way. It takes commitment to the body of Christ. It takes commitment to one another. Are we committed to serving the Lord as we should? You know, James 1, verses 2 through 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And no trial is joyous while you're going through it. Hebrew writer talks about that in Hebrews chapter 12, but we count it joy in the sense that we know what's about to happen if we approach it the right way. Verse 3, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." When you go through trials, one of two things is going to happen. Either it's going to destroy you, or you're going to conquer it. And when you conquer, you come out a lot stronger than you were before you ever went into those trials. Everybody goes through them. Every church goes through them. But we're either going to be stronger because of them, or it's going to destroy us. And we've got a choice to make about that. We've got a choice. How will we allow those things to affect us? Strengthening our spiritual family. I have so appreciated the time that I've been here. You have been the greatest people. I do consider you family. We are a family. And we need to stick with it. And we need to keep on going. And we need to be a stronger family in the future than we have been in the past. And we can be. That's one of the wonderful things about God's family. You have so many people, wonderful people, great people, who are pulling for you, who are encouraging you, who are wanting what's best for you. You don't always have that in a natural family. That's what you ought to have, and that's what you do have in the family of Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not a member of that family. Jesus encourages us to come to Him. And in Him, we are joined together, and in Him, we can have fellowship with one another, but it's only in Him. Have you been baptized into Christ? Have you, by faith, repented of your sins, confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, and been baptized into Jesus Christ, into His family, into the household of God? If you haven't, you need to be. If you're in this family and you have not been doing the things that you ought to do to help the family, to strengthen the family, then you need to examine yourself and do what's right. And do what you can to be an encouragement, to be an example, and to help others. Maybe you're here. We can help you in any way. Anything at all. We pray that you come as together we stand and sing.